Check, 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 1, 2, check.
1, 3, 4.
What?
Act casual.
Cash.
Hey, Chip.
Hi.
What's going on?
You know, just updating my calendar.
As you do.
As you
do. The second we start recording, Chip's like, what
Back
can I
work.
Do on my computer?
Back to work.
How many emails can I check? Is my Dropbox
Oh, my God.
Looking?
How's that Dropbox looking?
Well, what's been going on this week? You actually told me a really cool story yesterday, and I was like, you should tell it on At Casual because I think that's a really good update for Chip's life.
So, first of all, the sun came out, so hallelujah.
Well, also, it's like 66 degrees. Everyone in Nashville is
we're living.
Around. Yeah,
we're living.
Absolutely.
Did you see that meme yesterday? I forget what. It's like one of the Nashville like blog memes. It's like what it's like in Nashville right now, and it was a guy laying by his like backyard privacy fence. And, you know, the sun is at such an angle where it's like he's half in the shade where there's still some snow.
Right.
And the other half, like from his waist down, he's in the sun. So he's like wearing shorts from the waist down, but wearing a winter jacket on the, like, laying
it's
in the
like
snow.
And that's exactly the way it is. The front party in the back,
yeah,
but
totally.
Like the sun and the snow. It literally was a snowstorm last week. We're sweating every day.
Yeah.
Snowpocalypse. I'm looking outside the window right now.
I'm in a short sleeve shirt. Yeah, like, it's comfy, you know?
I know. Getting gearing up for Sledapalooza.
But, I mean, this plays into the weather, too. So, I had an experience this week that was really sort of just eye-opening and heartwarming at the same time. So, Lindsay L., who I manage, was asked to do a private performance on the rooftop of a hotel in town called the Bobby Hotel. And, of course, I was a little worried. I was like, on the rooftop? Like,
yeah.
But it ended up being, like, one of those 65-degree days, and it stayed nice in the evening. I was, you know, a little bit of a bite. But the people, it was for Samford Medical, and Samford Medical is like a chain of hospitals like in the Dakotas and Minnesota and sort of like the mid-Northwest. And
Minnesota.
And they surprised 20 of their like frontline workers with a trip to Nashville.
Yeah.
And it was like full of like, literally the week before, they got called into their boss's office because all their bosses are who like recommended them. And it was from across like all the hospitals.
Yeah.
They were called into their boss's office and given a piece of luggage that when they opened it, it said like, you've been given this trip. It didn't say where it was, but it said you have 24 hours to accept it.
Oh my gosh.
And like
it's
they
so
were
exciting.
It's so exciting.
Like, especially during a pandemic where you probably have not, especially
not
the
front a day
workers,
off.
They haven't had a day off.
Right.
They definitely haven't had a vacation.
Right. So they had 24 hours to accept it. They were given the time off. So that wasn't an issue. It was like whether or not you could find care for your kids or whatever.
Right.
Or even want to travel.
Yeah.
So everyone accepted it.
Obvi.
And they were then flown to Nashville. Like they didn't know where they were going until they got to the airport.
They didn't?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that part.
And the cool thing is like none of them knew each other before
this,
you know, because they're all coming from different regions. So they were flown to Nashville and put up at a hotel and they were doing like whiskey tasting. And then the first night, Lindsay did a surprise concert after their dinner on the rooftop. And then yesterday they went, they did a bunch of stuff and then they got a private tour of the Opry.
Yeah.
And they got a private performance with Lady Antebellum at the Opry House, which is
so
amazing.
Fun.
And so anyway.
Isn't it Lady A? Excuse you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm so used to it's Lady A.
I know.
And part like when we were prepping for the show, they gave us like these sheets about every person that was there. So we could read their history and what they do at for the hospital. And everyone sort of had like a mantra at the bottom of their thing. And like there were people, there was this one woman, she's worked for Sanford for less than a year.
Yeah.
And 1 week, she was hired to do something like, I can't remember specifically, but they were like, hey, we need you to help like build the COVID center.
Jesus.
She was her
like,
second week
work.
Of work.
Yeah.
You know, and she was awesome. And
what was the quote from the guy that you told
me? So there
me?
Was this one guy, his name was Adrian, and his mantra was, and he I'll preface it like the way he prefaced it. He said, this might sound grim, but bear with me for a second. The worst day of your life will only be 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it just sort of gut punched all of us because it was so inspiring, really, like, because we are, as human beings, we are so resilient, but we're also so inclined to think that, like, we can't get through something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just fight, like, that worst day will be over soon.
This too shall pass. I said that to you when you said it.
Yeah.
I loved that story too, because when you were talking to me, I could see the excitement in your voice and just like the positive thing that it brought for you, like mentally, emotionally. And I think right now we're specifically all kind of looking for those positive looks at life and things to be grateful for again. That's a lot of what happened in my week too, and I'll share in a minute. But yeah, like I love, and it's also helping the people that have really, really helped the world this year.
I can't, you know, in talking with them, it was like, so I thought of something that I hadn't really thought of, like the mental toll that it takes on these people. Like, yes, it is their job and they are trained to do this. And I talked to them about it and it was like, they learn very quickly to put up a wall because not everyone's going to live, you know, whether it's COVID or whatever, you know, people come in with emergencies all the time. And they have to do that because at a certain point, they also have to go home and cook dinner for their kids.
Yeah, you can't take it with you.
You can't take it with you. And one of the women reminded me in our conversation, she was like, you know, I know a lot of people go into the doctor's office and they leave like disappointed because the doctor or the nurse or the person at the front counter or whoever like maybe didn't have the best bedside manner or wasn't as cheery as you would want them to be. But you have to remember that like, maybe the person in the room next door, they just had to deliver the news that like you're terminal or your mother's gonna die or something like that. Like these doctors and nurses and frontline workers, like they have to deal with really heavy stuff all the time. So like lifting your mood is not necessarily on the priority list. And it was just like, wow, like how selfish are we that we expect that like that our happiness lays in the hands of like our doctors and nurses. Like our health is in their hands.
Sure. Yeah.
But our happiness isn't. And it was just like really eye opening to hear that because I think that like we put a lot of pressure on them. We walk in and we think our problems are worse than everybody's and fix me the fastest. And these people are dealing with like on an everyday level, dealing with like heavy stuff. So, you know, I think hug your doctor or hug your nurse next time you see them because it's, we need to remind ourselves that like it's their job is really hard and heavy.
Yeah. And it's also, I think one of the big lessons I took out of 2020 is just the reminder of how human we all are. And I think that's sort of still happening, especially with this like cancel culture stuff that's going on. And like you say one wrong thing and people want to be done with you. And the reality is it's like, no, we all say wrong things all the time. And yes, some of them are terrible.
Right.
But if we aren't going to give someone the grace of just like you're human and you get another shot. I don't know. Like I can't buy into that. And I hear a lot of that in this story too, of just, you know, maybe they didn't do the best job that day at cheering you up, but who knows? You never know what someone else is going through. So yeah, everyone's human. So that's a really good one. I liked that. My week was interesting and totally not in the way of like helping other people. So this is all about me, but I have really like, I mean, I don't feel like I've completely quit working over the last year, but I hit something, like something happened where like a lot of stuff felt like it was falling apart. And then I just realized how much I've been working the last couple of years and the burnout was like so severe that I just like could not work.
Working to work, really?
Yeah, I was just working to work. And then once it kind of stopped because of the pandemic, it makes you step back and go, wait, what do I actually want to be doing? And all of this stuff, you know? And so I've really been in this back and forth for, I think this whole time with COVID, I think I've gone through some depression with it and just kind of being like, what do I want in my life? What's my purpose? Just all of those questions that I think we all hit at some point. But this week it's like the simple things have started to come back. And like, I got to go to set one day and I worked a full photo shoot. And
Amazing. Then
I literally went to the airport and got on a plane to go to another job in Denver. And I was like, oh my God, like, what is this? It was so exciting, but it was the way that my life used to be all the time.
Right.
So much so to the point where I was so jaded, you know, and just kind of like exhausted and just,
I have a shoot tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, I got to go to Denver, you know? Right. And like, so I went to Denver with Dirks and, we literally were there for a day. And for this like job that lasted, it was like an hour and a half that I worked. Like it really wasn't that long, but doing it, I was getting in the car and his manager looked at me and she was like, I'm on fucking fire right now. I just worked for 30 minutes and we were both, I was like, I literally haven't had that much energy in over a year.
It's so exhilarating.
Oh my God. I finally felt like a little bit like myself again, right. You know, and I hate that I put so much weight into what I do as like part of my identity. But I do feel like it's a little separate from that now, in just that I can look at the people that I work with, the things that I get to do, just like how I can make people feel better, or anything that I can do to contribute gives me some sort of purpose.
Right. And it's like, now you can look at it like, wait a minute, I do this because it fills me up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not doing it because you feel like you need to be doing it. Like, you're doing it because you want to be doing it.
Oh my God.
Now.
I was just so excited to have the opportunity to do my job, you know? And then like, it's that thing too, where you haven't done something in so long that you're like, do I even know how to do this anymore?
Am I good at this?
And then I did it and I was like, yeah, I am.
Hell yeah.
And it just gave me a little boost, you know, that I went home and I was telling my boyfriend about it. And I was just like, he was like, God, you just seem like you just are on fire right now.
You're
you have
like
this like
skipping
energy
up the driveway.
Oh, I legit was like, what up? I just came sauntering in, you know, like all of a sudden I like have this swagger. But it gave a little pep in my step. And so I was just so grateful for that opportunity this week. And then just kind of carrying that over into the rest of hopefully the year, you know, hopefully things start to pick back up for everybody. Cause I know there's a lot of people in our business specifically just feeling that and needing that thing that you like have a reason to get up every day and go do something.
Yeah.
Like it gave me a whole new sense of gratitude for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall it just feels like, and I don't know if it's this way in every industry, but it feels like we're about to turn a corner.
I hope so.
That's so like, knock on wood. It just is an uplifting sort of thing. And I'm hoping that like what we're feeling personally, other people are feeling too, because I think if it's a collective sort of uprising of
positivity,
then like
energy
that will sort of manifest it in the world. And you know, look, more and more people are getting the vaccine. I'm getting it tomorrow.
I heard this.
Yeah. So, you know, it just like it, like it's, I've got a renewed sense of hope. And I think that, like, it feels like talking to you and talking to some other friends, like it's kind of where everyone is. And maybe that has something to do with like it, spring is around the corner. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're coming out of just like a cold winter. So
Mercury retrograde's over.
Yeah. Nothing's in retrograde right now.
I know,
which is
interesting. Yeah. There's still like a little, if we're going to get real technical with it, here I go. He just rolled his eyes so hard. It's still a little shadow phase of the Mercury retrograde, but it's fading out.
Okay, good.
So yeah.
That makes me feel positive.
I think none of us are, this is what I've been, the conversations I've been having. A lot of us don't realize the weight of what we've been carrying. There's the stress. Like, is it going to be financially okay? Will I ever go back to work? Will I lose this client? Whatever it looks like in your life, or like the frontline workers being under so much pressure that they can't even breathe.
Right.
You know,
they're taking on jobs that they didn't even like apply for.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think maybe that's some of what we're feeling too, is maybe some of that lifting, some of the pressure and it just the shit we've been carrying.
Yeah.
So I hope so. I loved your positive story. I also had a positive week. So
yeah, feels
here
good.
We are. It feels good. Speaking of feeling good.
Oh God.
So, well, okay.
this, I mean, I feel like this could go down, in history, like either really good or bad, but I'm leaning in.
Well,
I'm leaning in.
You don't really have a choice at this point, but the other thing is like, once you put something out there, like you can't take,
you can't take it back.
So that's where I'm like, whatever, we're both about to do that. But we want to have a moment for the casual moment of the week, which actually happened last week during the recording of our At Casual episode. And I'm just going to set the scene for you guys.
We
were on Zoom because it was snowpocalypse here, which is just insane to think about looking out the window right now. But we just couldn't get to each other. And so we're on Zoom and it's a little harder to read each other's energy, which we've talked about. And like, you know, sometimes we'll talk over each other and there's all these things going. And I was on a rant about only God knows what, but
waxing poetic.
I mean, I'm sure. And I thought that you were just really interested in what I was saying because you were super quiet on the other end. And I'm just like, oh, he's really feeling this too, because here I go, you know, like, yeah, I'm just like,
you just keep vamping.
I'm just like totally just going and going and going. And finally, I think I took a breath where you could get a word in and you looked at me. You know what? I'm just going to play the clip.
Okay.
Should we just do that?
Oh God. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Trusting our government too much. Hey, Can we hit pause for one quick sec?
Yeah.
Don't use this in the show, but I'm about to shit my pants because of this drink.
Oh no.
I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Well. Well, okay. So
tell us what was going on.
Look, I thought about, because, you know, I asked Kelly last week. I was like, can we just edit that out? But I thought about it and I was like, you know, we talk about on this podcast all the time, like openness and communication, and like, we're here to like, we're your friends. Like, you know, this is just friends having conversation. And I'm then why would I lie about that? You know,
can't
like,
lie
why
would to I? The people.
Well, look, I also have a confession. I actually did shit my pants.
Not tell me this.
I know, because I was embarrassed. But like, the more I thought about like the honesty of like even playing the clip, and you guys, this is a mic drop moment, because I did not tell Kelly I was gonna do this. Like, this is me like being like, oh, this is gonna feel really good about being fully honest. Like, I shit my pants a little bit. I did.
The funniest part was in my question on my outline. I was going to ask you, have you ever shit your pants? So
well,
the answer
there's
is
the
yes.
Truth. And the thing is I only told two people. I told my sister and my sister's best friend, because she's kind of like my sister too.
Uh-huh.
And then I get a text from my niece, because I was like, oh my God, this happened today. And like Kelly was talking, I had to sit in it for a second. I get a text from my 12-year-old niece that says, you just sat in it? And I was like, my sister and her big mouth. And then I got a text from another friend of my sister's that referenced it. And I texted my sister and I was like, I am never telling you a secret ever again. Like, you literally cannot keep your mouth shut. And all she sent back was like the crying laughing emoji four times.
I thought you were going to say she sent back the shit emoji.
No, did the crying laughing. She's like, ha ha, fuck you. It was just like, okay, I'm going to set up the scene too. Like, I drank. The reason why I told my sister is because she's like super into keto. So,
which you've talked about how you have been a big keto advocate the last couple weeks. So when we get on the podcast, he's sipping on this shake.
It's a Slim Fast like meal replacement shake.
Slim
and it
Fast,
says it has MCT oil in it. And I didn't
know what that was.
My sister what MCT oil is and like how it affects things.
You should have just said this from the get-go.
Right.
So I do bulletproof coffee, so I do that every morning. And literally, when I first started, I mean, it's like, you will shit your pants if you have. You have to kind of ease your stomach into how much you can digest.
And the crazy thing is like, when I bought it, it was a 4-pack. This was my last one. I had not had that reaction to it. But I guess that morning, that day, it just rocked. And it may be because I hadn't eaten anything all day.
So,
and that was like the first thing I consumed.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was just like, there was nothing to hold it back.
Man.
But luckily, like, it was not like a terrible situation. It was like where I could like get in shape. I mean, I think when I came back to the Zoom, I was probably just only wearing fresh underwear.
Well, okay, that's what I was going to ask you. I have a couple questions. One, were you thinking you were about to fart and then it was
no,
more of a
it
shart?
Was like one of those, you know, when you're driving your car and you've got to go really bad and you're getting closer to home mm-hmm. and you're just like,
oh,
you like can't even breathe because you feel like the wrong exhale. It was one of those moments where, and I was trying not to show my like do it on my face.
Well, you obviously weren't, because I was like blah 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 blah.
No, so I didn't think it was like I knew what was about to happen.
You couldn't interrupt
terror,
me.
Full terror. Yeah, I couldn't.
The other question I had is, when you got up, what did you do? What was your protocol? You just went to the bathroom
and
changed your pants?
I had to run straight to the bathroom because I literally had,
you had to go again.
Yeah, I had to go. And then I, you know, cleaned up as fast as I could because I had to get back and finish change my clothes.
So I earlier, first, before I knew you actually shit your pants, I was like, what are some funny tangents that we could go on about this topic of poop? So I googled, what do you do if you accidentally poop your pants? This is just randomly.
Thank God I was at home.
I'm not gonna say I haven't done that too.
Like, I feel like every adult does. Like, I was very fortunate that I was at home. Like, what if I was sitting right here, you know?
Well, then
I would have
like,
had to sit in it.
Oh, man. That's like, I feel like that's some sort of t-shirt is like, I sat in it, yeah, or something. We gotta
You know that, like, you made that bed, you lie in it, you shit those pants, you sit in them.
It's like our new underwear. That's, here line. We go. Yeah.
It's got like a diaper liner that you can like insert.
Oh, gross. So when I Googled what do you do if you accidentally poop your pants, oddly, there are a million articles with tips on how to, like, one, clean out your pants. Like, this one is, what would you do if you pooped your pants at work? And it's like, wrap the soiled underwear in toilet tissue and or place it in a plastic bag to discard it in a waste bin outdoors. If you can't reach the outdoors, bury it in the restroom waste bin. Since the underwear will generally catch the brunt of the damage, the pants should be recoverable. They may just be damp.
Oh, then that word damp.
Ew, it's kind of like moist. I mean, there's all these things. It's like, so you pooped your pants in public. Now what? Is one article. So you pooped your pants. 7 steps to cleaning up. I pooped my pants. Hear what it's like living with IBS. Ooh, that one, you know.
That's, yeah, IBS is a whole different
deal. But I think it's hilarious that there's tips on how to, like, clean
what
your pants.
To do.
It is pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know how to deal with it, like, from dealing with kids,
right,
shit. But
right.
You're like, oh my God, what happened for me was, see, why am I going here now? We're just going to be in this together.
It's an honesty room, you know?
Yeah.
This is what's amazing is, like, when you are honest with your friends about, mm-hmm, things.
Everyone's like, oh, I did that.
Yeah. It's like, then you realize, like, why was I keeping this a secret? We're all humans that shit our pants.
I really hope that we get a lot of stories after this about pooping your pants stories. I had just gotten over a stomach bug and was going to work, and it was a photo shoot. And I was, like, feeling good, finally. Like, I was out of the window of the virus and feeling better. So I'm dressed. I load in my car. At this time, I lived in a condo. So I was, like, the third floor up. And so, but I was already in my car. So I thought that I just had to pass gas. Uh-oh. And literally, it was more than that. And so then I'm, like, oh, my God, because I'm going to be late for work. But I have to run up the stairs. Change everything. It was mortifying. So then I'm, like, texting the photographer, and I'm like, hey, I'm running 10 minutes behind. So sorry, traffic's terrible. So when I get there, of course, it's one of those days where they're like, oh, where'd you hit traffic? And they start asking me all these questions. And what am I going to do? Oh, sorry, guys. Actually, I just shit my pants. but it was pretty embarrassing.
Do you remember that SNL skit, Oops, I Crap My Pants?
No, but tell me everything.
It was like an adult undergarment, like, ad, and it was like elderly people that was like, oops, I crap my pants. I also, my favorite advertisement ever made was, yeah, for Kmart a few years ago, and it was about, like, their online shipping department, like, that you could ship anything.
Sure.
But the way that they, like, wrote it was so brilliant. It was like, I can ship my pants. And it's like an old lady be like, I just shipped my nightie. I just shipped my drawers. Like, they were saying shipped, but it's like, it sounded like shit. And I literally could watch that commercial every day.
That was a real commercial.
Yeah.
No wonder Kmart went out of business.
I know. I feel like it was just, they were a little late. Oh, and one of the guys goes, I just shipped my bed. So good. It's on YouTube. You have to Google it.
Oh my God.
It.
Please, let's look that up. The other thing I Googled was, what do you do if you need to poop in public? Because a lot of people have a serious fear.
Phobia, yeah.
Yeah, it's a phobia. This WebMD actually has a full article about tips to ease your fear of pooping in public places. I don't really have this issue.
No, if I have to go, I have to go. I mean, look, I hate it when you are like, oh my God, this bathroom is just...
Or it's like a lot of people are in there.
I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing it. I would, yeah, rather shit my pants.
Yeah. My boyfriend will come home from work and, like, mm-hmm, to go to the bathroom. He lives close to his office, but like if I'm in there in the morning, sometimes he comes back and I'm like, what are you?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's so funny.
It's like, at what point do we shift to being embarrassed about pooping? Like,
to where we're not.
My like 4-year-old niece is like, I just pooped, you know, like, it's a, right, thing that, like, or they'll be like, I have to poop. And I would never say that now. I'd be like, I gotta go pee. Like, I'm not, and there's no shame in pee. There's no, like, weird shame and, right, like, I gotta go pee.
I feel like with pooping, it smells bad.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's like a gross factor.
Yeah.
So people are kind of like, but it's like.
But people think farts are funny.
I mean, but I'm not going to like go fart around a guy. True. Like, it's just, true. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't even really fart around my boyfriend.
Yeah.
It slipped out every now and again, but.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Like, we're human. That's the thing. It's like, yeah. We're human. So I'm trying to, I figured this would be me normalizing pooping your pants.
Well, that's like actually an interesting point too. When you first start dating someone, you're so embarrassed about that. Like, it's like you, it's that easing. And the first time you actually
I have a story.
Hey, oh God, his eyes just lit up. Are you going to tell everybody or is this for after?
Yeah, I'll tell it.
Okay, let's hear it.
So this is, I lived in Los Angeles and I was dating this guy and it was like kind of early on. And, right. I'd gone over to his house. I hadn't spent the night at his house yet. And I certainly hadn't pooped at his house.
Right.
And we'd had dinner. And I feel like it was like, it was like a greasy dinner or something. I can't remember. And I stayed pretty late. And I was like, oh, I got to go home because like my dog's at home. And I got in the car to drive home. And he lived probably
told
like,
me this story.
He lived probably like 20 minutes from me.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like late at night and like on a weekday too. So there weren't like a lot of people out. And I get like halfway from his house to my house and my stomach does that like thing where I'm like, oh my God. And it's like, it was a panic sweat immediately because I knew that like I wasn't going to make it in either direction.
It was like, probably similar to what you looked like last week.
Totally. And I was like, one of those things where I was like, I can't call him back to be like, hey, have you gone to bed already? Like, right. I need to turn around and come back to your house and like explode. And I reached full on panic mode. I was like, I literally said out loud, what am I going to do? And then so I like found this, and there's no like back roads in Los Angeles. You know, right. They're all like, it's all this big, huge residential sort of patchwork.
Right.
So I found this like street and I pulled over and literally just like shit in a storm drain, and I had a t-shirt in the trunk of my car that so I used and it was like trash collection night, so I just threw my t-shirt in someone's trash can and like prayed that no one saw me do it.
What if there was a camera like on the street?
I'm sure
somewhere.
I mean, now like with Ring cameras,
oh
there's
God,
no escaping that. So I get back in my car and I drive home, and literally 4 minutes later my stomach went and I literally go not again, God, not again. And I had to pull over. I had to do it again. I had to do it twice on the way home.
Did you have anything to wipe with?
Yeah, I had a beach towel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You didn't know you were going to lose that beach towel.
I'm like, thank God. Thank no God one like had... walked by walking their dog or something late at night. You know?
You're like, don't mind me.
So embarrassing. Could you imagine if you looked out your window and were like,
someone's
is that
shitting in your storm drain?
Storm drain?
No, I can't.
Yeah. So now that I've embarrassed myself to thousands of listeners.
But you know what, Chip? Everybody poops.
Everybody poops.
Just like
poops.
We said. I mean, I tell my boyfriend's kids this all the time because they're enough old. I mean, they're 6 and 8, almost 9 and 7, and they have the embarrassment piece of like, or like when I go to the bathroom, they're like, I think Kelly was pooping.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that kind of thing. And I'm like, guys, everybody poops.
Everybody
and so,
poops.
Because I just like for them too, with girls, I feel like specifically with girls, like guys like go around farting and like talking about shit all the time. And like, we're supposed to not do that.
Right.
And
like, I've actually heard guys
too.
Be like, girls poop.
Oh,
like,
that's such an old, get
I know,
over it.
Get
that
over
is just
it.
So stupid. It's like, if they don't, something's wrong with them.
Yeah,
so,
seriously, they might need to see the doctor.
Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to like get the girls just kind of more used to the idea that like, you don't need to go around announcing it, but like also like you don't need to feel shame because your body is functioning properly.
Right. Yeah, it's called digestion.
Yeah.
It's actually a good thing.
So anyway, no shame in your game. Thank you for sharing. I mean, I feel like you handled it very casually.
Right.
You acted very casual. I mean, as casual as you could, sitting in your own shit.
Right.
You know?
Oh God. And I was in the shower yesterday and I was like, I'm going to tell Kelly the truth. And it's like this weight lifted, you know? Because I was like, next thing I know, my sister's going to have it on Facebook and someone will see it. And I was like, I might as well just come clean.
Yeah, that's
so
hilarious.
Haha, Jenny. Joke's on you.
Joke's on you,
because
Jenny.
You can't tell my secret anymore. I took it back.
You're only as sick as your secrets,
right,
they say. So good
right.
for you for just owning it.
It feels good. So thank you to all of my friends out there listening that are not going
to
judge me.
You know what? And send your shit stories. Yeah. Let's keep normalizing this. Yeah. Please tell us when you pooped your pants. All right. Now it's time for the listener question of the week. This one, I died. First of all, it's long. So... But thank God. I mean, it's a really good one, and it's very interesting. And again, I feel like we need the full story. So right. Here we go. This comes from Billy, who is a woman. And she said, "Hi, Kelly and Chip. Love your podcast so much. I'm really wanting to get your take on my situation. Yes, I know you want emails to be kept short and to the point, but this is not going to be one of those. Sorry." I love that she just calls me out. She's like, "Bitch, please read my email, okay?" She goes, "I met my fiance almost 5 years ago. We immediately hit it off and started dating what I thought was exclusively. I was very upfront with him that I don't do casual sex relationships. So if that isn't what he wanted, we needed to just be friends. He was good with that, or so I thought. Right from the beginning, he told me he had an ex-wife, 2 kids with her, and a baby mama, 1 with her, and that they were very particular about who was around the kids. Okay, I know the ex-wife and she approves, so you just need to make sure that the baby mama is okay with it. The first couple of years were off and on. He quote unquote didn't want to get attached. His son's mom, who is the baby mama, not the ex-wife, will never let me have, this is in quotes, will never let me have another woman around him, so why bother? But anyway, we kept going. I became very close with his daughters, and he finally asked me if I could see myself moving in with him, and I said I did. The baby mama gave him an ultimatum at this point. If we aren't going to be together, I'm taking our son and moving literally across the country. He told her they weren't, and she made plans to move, which she did. At this point, I was staying with him basically all the time, but there were things that I didn't feel like he was being open with me about. He always kept his phone on silent. It was never out of his hand, basically. If the son or his mom called, he would either send it to voicemail or only talk to them in the other room or on his drive home from work. When I would bring it up, he would say that he didn't want to make me feel uncomfortable. December of 2020, I guess. I think she missed something here, but in December, he proposed. I was so happy. I had no idea it was coming. He invited all of our friends out to dinner and took me to one of my favorite places. He said we would plan for a wedding a year from then, but that was short-lived. Within a couple of hours of proposing, he asked me to keep it on the down low until he could tell his son's mom. He needed to do it his way because she didn't know we were together. What the actual fuck? I could not believe it, but I also know how much of a pain in the ass she can be. So I said, okay, here we are, February of 2021, and he still hasn't told her. I have stopped wearing my ring. He broke my heart and he doesn't understand. He feels like I'm wrong for wanting him to just do it and deal with the fallout. I don't understand what the fallout could be. Why does it matter to her? Am I wrong to think something else is going on here? That even from across the U.S., there is something happening between them. I should also mention he hasn't seen his son in over a year. And when he was there last, I moved out of the house to keep him from knowing. I love this man and his kids, but I don't know if I can keep this up. Also, just a side note, he had just last month changed his relationship status to in a relationship, which pissed me off, by the way, and we have never had any pics together on social media. Sorry, this is long, but I would appreciate your thoughts.
Well, my first thought is shame on that baby mama for using that child as a pawn.
Absolutely.
Like, and I wish that the fiance boyfriend, whatever we're calling him, had the balls to take her to court before she could move out of the state.
Right. Because, I don't understand how that works because usually there's some sort of legal agreement. Yeah, I mean, I guess if the state hasn't
intervened in any way, then
like... they weren't ever married.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think if the court hasn't like gotten involved in some way, then she's probably free to take the kid wherever she wants, you know?
Yes.
Because then the precedent has been set. But if he had gone, taken her to court and said, hell no, you're not leaving this state.
Right.
Then he probably would have had a little bit more sort of like legal leeway. And now, you know, it's like, look, I understand a father like being like, look, I love you, but I have to choose my kid. And this woman's making it really difficult. Like, so I think like, and obviously we're not involved on this on the day to day. All we have is this email. But like, I feel like there has to be a little bit of understanding that like he doesn't know what this like wild card woman is going to do. But it is his kid, like, so he's not really, I'm hoping he's not choosing, it probably feels like he's choosing this woman over his fiance,
yeah.
But when it's like, really what he's doing is trying to choose his kid, but he doesn't, this is like unprecedented for him. That said, he needs to man up and tell this woman, I'm in love, I'm happy, because at the end of the day, like, what kind of example do you want to set for your boy? Like,
right.
You know, that like, it's okay, like, for there to be weirdness in your life. But I love this woman, and she's going to be my wife, and she's going to be your stepmom. And it doesn't matter what your mom says. Like, I love you.
Right.
And I feel like that's, he just needs to man up and deal with it, because he's going to lose it all. He's going to lose his fiance. He's going to lose his son. He's going to lose it all if he doesn't just man up and be a good dad.
Yeah. I mean, I actually agree with you. Like, she, I think, was asking us, do we think there's something going on? And I don't get the vibe of, like, there's fishy business. What I know about men, and I know this specifically too from my own personal experience with dating someone with kids, they're constantly just trying to keep the peace.
Right.
So, like, whatever that looks like when she was talking about the phone calls in the other room. Well, like, sometimes, like, I've had to learn to let go and be like, can you take that in the other room? Because, like, I will get triggered about certain conversations, right. Or I'm like, why would you say that? Or, you know, like, because I want it done a certain way. And at the end of the day, like you said, it really is about the kids. And so it's a lot to digest, right. Like 100%. It's a lot of juggling and balancing. But what I've learned, I know, with my boyfriend is, like, he is just constantly trying to make sure they're okay, I'm okay, the ex-wife is okay, so that we can all, you know what I mean? It's
right,
just like,
yeah.
It's like a balancing act. And I think that's a lot of pressure on them. And so, not to excuse that, this waiting, like, we did have to have a lot of come to Jesus conversations for me about, like, hey, I can be patient on certain things because I understand, like, this is about the kids and, like, we need to do the best thing for them. But I also am a participant in this relationship and I need to be treated like an equal,
right.
You know, like, I need to have a say. I need to
at least be heard. Yeah.
Be heard. Like, I can't just be this, like, person who's constantly trying to make y'all's lives easier without the same sort of respect.
Until you become that, you're kind of a burden, or at least seen as a burden. So it's like, until your voice is added to the conversation in a real way, like, you are this, like, thorn in the side of the situation.
Well, because
and the way to fix it is just to be like, let's all be adults here,
right,
and figure out the best path forward.
Well, and also, like, if you're to the point where you're engaged, like, you really should have a say in, like, not necessarily being like, you need to say this to her right now, but, like, y'all need to be, in my opinion, having conversations about what makes you comfortable too. Like,
right.
Because you're to the point of, you're about to marry this person. Like,
right.
You are about to be a part of the family, like, on paper, you know, like, even
the court is about to get involved.
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel like, you know, in our situation, like, we've all gotten to a better place of working together and, like, all of that stuff. But
you,
like,
even did, like, olive branch shit that was, like, out of your comfort zone, but you knew that you had to do it at some point.
Right. And I'm happy.
Yeah,
like,
it worked out.
Because I think everyone's trying to do that,
right.
You know, in our situation, luckily. But it just doesn't make it, like, any easier all the time. Like, you really do have to, like, put on your big girl panties and be like, okay, this is not.
And don't poop them.
Yeah, don't poop them. This isn't what I necessarily want to be doing, but this is the best thing for
right.
the kids. And so, anyway, but I also had to find my voice in that, too, because there's a lot of the other voices, because there's so many things to juggle.
Right,
and so
right.
you just have to be able to have your say. So my advice to Billy would be, in a calm adult manner, approach the conversation of, like, hey, this isn't working for me. And to be able to move forward in this for me, I need this to be communicated. Like, can we come up with a plan of when that's going to happen? Like, lay out a plan that's not like, go do it right now. Like,
right.
You know, talk to him openly about setting up a timeline.
And acknowledge that you recognize that it's about the kid, because
that's a very good point.
And help come up with the plan. Be like, I want to love your kid too.
Right.
You know, like, I want to give him a home where when he's not with his mom, you know,
yeah.
like, this needs to feel like a home to him. And if I'm some foreign creature to him, it's never going to feel that way.
Right.
You know?
Right. I think.
Kids. I mean, it's so complicated with kids. I don't even have them. Like,
it's a lot.
I mean,
there's so much of an upside, which is what makes
right.
it all worth it. But, it's a lot. And especially with, I mean, a baby mama and an ex-wife. Oh, mm-hmm. Lord.
Oh, God.
That's a lot. That's a lot to juggle.
Yeah.
There was one more thing. The sad part to me is he hasn't gotten to see his kid in like a year.
I hope that gets worked out too. I want to go back to the one point too. Like, it sounds like there are trust issues. And, you know, like, this is a baby mama. So I don't know, like, was this child born out of, you know, him cheating on his last wife. I don't know what that timeline is. There should be some there are details that we just don't know. But to me, it sounds like he is just trying to keep the peace, and it doesn't sound like he's being sketchy. But if there is that piece of information that we don't have, where this child was born out of cheating, then maybe she's got a point where it's hard for her to really trust him. But then again, have the conversation, be adults. And
well, the other thing I've learned is, like, if you are going to marry or be in a relationship with someone who has like an ex that's in the picture in some capacity, like, jealousy has to go out the window with that. Like, it's just like, even if, because they're going to have to communicate if there's kids involved.
Yeah.
Like, they just are. And so you just can't. That, like, it's a odd way to be in a relationship. I don't think if you've ever done it, like, or if you've never done it, it is bizarre, because you're like, wait, what? You know, like, the ex is just there, which isn't typical of a relationship, but it's workable. And I do think it's very common with men to just be trying to keep the peace, and to women, because we operate just a little bit differently. We over communicate things, whereas guys are just like, I'm just going to handle this, and I'm going to put this, and I'm going to, you know, like, they just like think that they have it all figured out, and instead of communicating, they're just doing it behind the
scenes. They forget about the emotion of it a lot too, which then when they fuck something up and the emotions follow, then you have to deal with that fallout. Yeah.
So I think communication is key here, and especially in situations where there's a mixed family, like, you just have to constantly be communicating, and also you have to just kind of take yourself out of it for a second and remember it's about the kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck, Billy. Keep us posted. You guys keep the emails coming. I'm back into the long emails, okay? Like, yeah, I mean, we just need
that was
them.
A good one.
I mean, it's you need the details. Mm-hmm. So, sorry about my vent again. I'm going to keep that to myself next time.
Just remind me not to drink one of those Slim Fast drinks before you read the next long email.
You're going to make it through like the first sentence.
You're like, well, Slim Fast was going to do an ad buy with us, but not anymore.
Not anymore. We're like, Slim Fast makes you shit your pants.
Well, maybe they should prove that it's, that was a one-off thing. Send me some of those drinks.
Well, maybe that's how you get skinny, drinking Slim Fast. Yes. You just shit all the time. Yeah.
Shit fast.
Shit fast. Oh my God. Anyway, you guys keep the emails coming to @casual@velvetsedge.com, or you can slide into my DMs @velvetsedge on Instagram. Chip is @chipdorsch. Do you want to spell it?
I feel like you're eager to spell it.
C-H-I-P-D-O-R-S-C-H. That was a different cadence than you usually do. You're usually like C-H-I-P-D-O-R-S-C-H. Wait, did I spell it?
You spelled it right.
That was hard.
It's tough because a lot of people hear me say F when I say S.
On what?
So often, I'm like on it's like D-R-S as in Sam, C-H is how I know.
Right. Chip Dorsch.
Yeah, Dorsch.
Or you can just call him Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
All right, we'll be back next week with an all-new Act Casual. Thank you guys so much for listening. And always remember...
Act Casual.
Bye.
Bye.